Kumlan Rablak Gemara, we are up to Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. So we were talking about, we're going back now to what we started out, the whole thing is that there's a minig. Some people do not work Erev Pesach in the morning, some people do work. In the afternoon, Tesis brings, we don't work because of the carbon, it's supposed to be our day. It's a personal carbon, and the day you bring a carbon is supposed to be a festival or Yom Tov, so we don't work in the afternoon. And Rashi, according to some, learned that the afternoon we want you to be ready for Pesach and prepare the matzahs and everything else and not be distracted by work. But then regarding the morning, it's a question of a minig. So now the Mishnah continues and not everybody agrees. The Chachamim, I mean, there's another opinion. The Chachamim say, be Yehuda. Remember, we broke up Israel into different regions. Yehuda and Galil and then Abrayad and Transjordan. Chachamim say, be Yehuda in the region called Yehuda. Hayo'oysin melocha ba'arve psochim ha'chatzais. They used to work Erev Pesach in the mornings. But in Galil, in northern Israel, loy hayo'oysin kolika. They didn't work at all in the mornings. Halayla, what about the night? The night of Bedikas Chum is the night prior to Pesach. Beishamai Oisin. Beishamai says it's forbidden. We had this in the Beis Mabeis. Beishamai says it's forbidden. And Beis Hillel is Matirin. And Beis Hillel says that it is permitted. Hillel says that it's permitted.
Can I ask this Mishnah, is it a continuation from the previous one? Because to start a Mishnah with V'chachomim Oimrim.
This goes back to the first Mishnah. Yeah, it just goes back to the first Mishnah of this Perek. Of a, so it's a continuation of the first Mishnah. Why? We sidetracked, so we're talking about Mokum Shenogu, so we gave other examples of where there are different Minhagim. And now we're going back to continue, and we'll soon see that maybe over here they're not talking about a minigame anymore, maybe they're talking about even that it's usher to work at a Pesach in the morning. We'll soon see. So Beishamai says, not only don't you work at a Pesach, the previous night, also, you know, the preceding night, you don't work. And Beisil says, no, you're allowed to until the morning, in fact, till Netzacham. And we had a little discussion about the Beis and Beis and the Gemara there when we talked about if Urim is night or day. It says the Gemara, Mikara, Tanim and Hoga, the Mishnah starts out talking about a custom, all of a sudden, Tani Sir. Then when he quotes Beishamai, he says, Oisin. Oisin is a word you use not for a minig. Oisin is a word you use when it's forbidden. It's not a minig. It's not a problem. Well, it's not a problem. Harameir, Harabihuda. There's actually two dissenting views between a Meir and a Behuda as to whether it's a minig or whether actually it might be an Issa. The time you learned, Amar Abhuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, it's from the comment that Ramei said to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Be Yehuda, Yehoyisim Malacha, Arvi Psochim, Achatzais. In Yehuda, in the region of Yehuda, they worked at a pace in the morning. Ube Galil, and Isaac Kolik, and Galil did nothing. Not even in the morning. Amar Ramei, Ma, Raya, Yehuda, Ube Galil, Khan. What are you bringing over here? A story about Yehuda and Galil to us over here. It's a general thing. If the meaning is to be forbidden, it is forbidden. If the meaning is to be permitted, it's permitted. And every region is different. What are you trying to tell us here? Ella, this is what you should say. Malkum shenogu lasam locha oisin. Don't do with Yehuda and Galil. You make it sound like it has something that pertains to Yehuda or pertains to Galil. It has to do with the Malkum shenogu. So just say, to make it more inclusive, to say, Malkum shenogu lasam locha oisin. The meaning is to make the work you work. And Malkum shenogu lasam locha oisin. Now, what exactly is that Meir arguing with Yehuda? It seems they're both saying the same thing at the end of the day. Rabbi Yehuda says that Yehuda, the meaning was it's forbidden and Galil is permitted. And the Meir says, take away Yehuda and Galil, just say, weird, it's forbidden, so what's the difference? Midigam Rameh min Hogar, Rabbi Meir stresses that it's a custom, Miklal, that Rabbi Yehuda Yisuda Kama. Rabbi Yehuda is saying no. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that in Yehuda, they believe it is forbidden to work at a Pesach in the morning. And Yehuda said it was permitted, and Galil said it was Aser. Because if you say that Yehuda holds it's only a minig in Galil to Aser, and the minig in Yehuda to be Mutter, so what at the end of the day, what is the difference between Meir and Yehuda? What are they arguing about? Semantics. Says the Gemara was Sovereign Yehuda. So we're telling me, so what do you want to tell me? That Bnei Yehuda holds that you're allowed to work at the pace of the morning. That Abba Aser, Mutter Masiz Malachi, allowed to work in the morning. But Tanya, we learned. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hamen Nachesh, if somebody like this tries to take the weeds out amongst the grains, Bishloisha Osar on the 13th day, and remember Chodosh, everything is forbidden, the new crop is forbidden until the second day of Pesach, they bring a special carbon known as a Minchas Oimer, the flower offering, and that permits everything that grew till then is permitted for the next year. Anything that you planted after then, is you have to wait until the following second day of Pesach before you can start eating. It takes generally 3 days for something to take root. So therefore he says as follows. If, let's say, you're weeding on the 13th day, So the 13th day, you have part 13, 14, full day 14, and then you have the full day 15. So you have 3 days before the 16th of Nisan when you brought the carbon omer. So if you're weeding on the 13th day, and you by mistake you pulled out some grains, you can replant it, but replant it in a moist place. It takes root very, very quickly. And this way, it starts growing before the second day of Pesach. And the omer will permit you to eat from that. However, anything that took root after them, you're not allowed to eat for another year. But do not replant it in a dry place, because then it takes a while for it to catch it to grow. It sounds like only if you weed it on the 13th, not if you weed it on the 14th. Now, why doesn't he say weed on the 14th? 14th, also you have 3 days, part 14, full 15, and part 16. Because they didn't bring it right away in the first thing in the morning. They brought it later in the morning. Merdi. This proves to us the reason why he didn't mention 14 is because you're not allowed to plant on the 14th day. Sounds like Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's forbidden everywhere to work on the 14th day, not just in Galil. Mechdi, let us analyze it. Shamin, Rabbi Yehuda says, any time that you try to plant something and doesn't happen, doesn't take root, within 3 days, Shuveni Kaletas, it will no longer, take root in time. So in other words, you need 3 days for something to take root. So l'chaydem. Okay, so he's saying if it didn't take root within 3 days, that means the seed is not going to take off. So you need 3 days. So let me ask you a question. The east alkadatach arba osam mutim masim locha. And if Yehuda holds technically, you're allowed to work, at least in Yehuda, you're allowed to work on the 14th day. Lama lishleisha osa. And Yehuda is closer to Yerushalayim. So why do you need to start? Why are you telling me as if the last possible day to replant it is the 13th day of Nisan? Vahika arbesa. You can plant it on the 14th. You'll have 3 days. You'll have the 14th day, vechamesa, and the full 15th day. You'll make tashitza part of the 16th day. Why don't you just say that? You give us a bit more time. Because you're allowed to work out of Pesach and you have your 3 days. Amar Rav says, Rav, who told you that Rabbi Yehuda over here is talking about in Yehuda? The Galil Shonu, he was talking about people who live in the Galil area where they hold that it's forbidden to do work out of Pesach. For them, the last day of weeding that they can put it back in is the 13th day of Nisan. Vayikah Laila, what do you mean? But they can still do the 14th at night. Amar Rav Sheshit ke Beishamai. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda follows Beishamai, and therefore Rabbi Shammai says, "Now it's also forbidden." So the only time you can weed is the 13th. So the Gemara, Rav Ashi says, "No, only ke Beishil." You know why it doesn't mention the night of the 14th? Who weeds at night when he can't see anything? So it's not practical. That's why he mentioned the 13th. But practically speaking, he's saying that's the last day that you can weed. And if you pull out any stalks, you can replant it in a wet area, in a marsh area, so that it can regrow before the omer is given. Ravina goes back and says, "Olam Yehuda." We don't have to say it's talking about Olam Yehuda. Ayiv is Yehuda. Why does he mention the 13th day? L'chaydi also had the 14th day. You want to, when you get to 3 days, if you plant it on the 14th, you're going to say, well, part 14, full 15, part 16. It doesn't work that way. A part day as a full day is only 1 day. But you want the first day should be treated like a full day, even though it's only part, and you want the last day to be treated like a full day, even though it's only part. And 2 part days, we do not say. Okay, continue talking about work at a Pesach. Says the Gemara. Says, any malacha that you commence working before, you started working when you were allowed to before Erev Pesach, you're allowed to conclude that work on the 14th day, at least in the morning. But never start a new malacha on the 14th day. The Gemara will explain what we're talking about here. Even though you can complete it as well, don't start something brand new on the 14th, even though you can completely finish it. The Chachamim say there are 3 exceptions. If Rameh says any malachi started, is he talking about in the morning of Erev Pesach? He said any morning he started before the Erev Pesach, he could continue Erev Pesach. He's talking about the morning Erev Pesach, he's talking about the afternoon Erev Pesach, what's he talking about? So we'll soon see tomorrow. The Chachamim say there are 3 exceptions. Gimel Umni, the 3 trades, Oisin Malacha Ba'arve Psochim Adchatzer, they're permitted to work Erev Pesach wherever they are. Even in places where the minig is not to work, these 3 professions can continue working Erev Pesach, at least in the morning. Ve'elohen, because they're necessary for Yom Tov. And we'll see later tomorrow whether it has to be necessary Yom Tov or not. Hachayotin, the tailors. Vasafarim and the barbers, and Vahakovsi and the launderers. These are all things generally we need for Yom Tov. Adds Afratzonim, also the tanners who make the shoes. We need to repair shoes, make shoes. Says the Gemara, Iboiluhu. First, let's understand what Rameyah said, that if you started a malacha before you Erev Pesach, you may continue Erev Pesach. Was he talking about something that you need on Yom Tov? Is that why he permits it? Or I don't care if it's for Yom Tov or not. Since you started, when you're permitted, you can finish. He's only talking about if it's necessary for Yom Tov. But if it's not necessary for Yom Tov, is he saying that since the minig is not to work, then if, even though you started before at the permitted time, don't finish? He's only allowing you to complete things which are necessary Yom Tov. Or he's talking about the time he's talking about if it's not necessary for Yom Tov, then only if you started before Yom Tov, before Erev Pesach, can you continue. But if a taka would have been, let's say you needed for Yom Tov, not only can you finish, complete, maybe you could even start whatever this malach is. Or a third possible way is, whether you need it for Yom Tov, whether you don't need it for Yom Tov, you cannot start a new malacha on Erev Pesach, but you can conclude if you started on time, migmer in, you can complete whatever you started. I don't care if you need it for Yom Tov or not, but because you started when you permitted, you can finish. Yeah, but to start, you can't. That's the Gemara's question. There's the Gemara Tashma coming here. It says, "Avol yaschil betchile arba." So it says he shouldn't start the beginning of the 14th day. It says the following: he shouldn't start even the beginning of the 14th day. afilu. It's very important. This word afilu, even, which we're going to talk about. Afilu, even tziltzul katan, a small little strap. Afilu svacha ktana, or even a little cap that the women wear on the hair. Even a little like a net, you're not allowed to wear that, you're not allowed to make that on the Erev Pesach as well. Even. What's the afilu? What do you mean, even? Lab, isn't the even that even though these are both two things that you might need for Yom Tov, afilu hani de letzoydech hamoyed, even these for Yom Tov, migmer in as chuliloy, you can complete, but you cannot start. So we see your original question was, you had three different ways. This at least solves part of it. That you thought that maybe if it's a tzedach Yom Tov you can start. It says clearly here you can only complete but not start, even though it's necessary for Yom Tov. Interesting, Rashi uses the translation of the word tzitzel, which is a belt. He uses a bindle, which is a German word, rather than the French, which he usually uses. Anyway, it continues here. Miklal the shaloi letzedach migman nami legamin. If you don't need it for Yom Tov, it seems to me also that if it's you don't need it for Yom Tov, you're not allowed to even complete. Well, I know. And maybe even if it's not necessary for Yom Tov, you also allowed to complete it. So what's the even? What do you mean, even a small belt or even the small net? Maya filu. So he says, afilu hani nami. Even these, the zutin, you know, they're very small jobs. It takes you maybe a few minutes to do them. So I would have thought, that, forget about finishing them. I would have thought that you're allowed to even start it because in a few minutes you finished. So Naschibu Nami Lachatchila. I would have thought that these you could even start because starting and finishing both more or less happen at the same time. Kamash London, no. No matter what it is, you cannot start anything Erev Pesach. But complete, maybe you can even complete things which are not necessary for Yom Tov. So we have no proof either way. So there might be another try. Toshma coming here. Rameh Rameh says, Kom Malacha Shemoyed, any Malacha which is necessary for Yom Tov, Goimra Ba'arba Osi, allowed to finish in Arba Osi. You're allowed to complete it an Erev Pesach, even if the minig is not to, but if you need it for Yom Tov, you're allowed to. When? Amosai, when is that talking about? Bizman shehis chilba koydim abasa, only if you started the work before Erev Pesach. So here we're talking about clearly something which you need for Yom Tov, and he's saying you're allowed to do it only if you started for Erev Pesach, and you can only complete it. Avlohis chilba koydim abasa, but if you did not begin before Erev Pesach, layas chilba abasa, you should not begin Erev Pesach. I feel tzutzel cotton, even that small belt, I feel a shvacha, even that net, katana, small one. So it says over here clearly, letzoydech hamoyed in, you can only, first of all, it seems from here, you can only complete things that you need for Yom Tov, and shaloy letzoydech hamoyed, but if it's not necessary Yom Tov, loy, even though you started before a Pesach, if it's not necessary Yom Tov, and I'm talking about in a place where the minig is not to work. If the minig is to work, there's no problem. If the minig is not to work, then you're not allowed to do that. If it's not necessary for Yom Tov, even though you started the 12th of Nisan, you cannot complete it on the 14th. Says no proof. Who are deemed that filish lezer nami? I mean, maybe if you started on the 12th or the 13th, you'll always allow to complete on the 14th. So what's a chiddush here over here? But even a belt, say a bigger chiddush. Even things which you don't need for yom tov, you're allowed to complete. And the chiddush is the other way around, the chumrah. That belt which you need for yom tov, you would have thought a belt, you're allowed to even start out of yom tov. So he says, no, even a belt, even the tzarei yom tov, you can only complete, you can't start. But things which are not the tzarei yom tov, if it's only a question of completion, you can. Even for yom tov, you can only conclude not to start. Tartra coming in. Rameyah says, kol melacha shehila tzarei chamoyed gurma ba'basa. Rameyah says, any melacha that is necessary for yom tov, you can complete. But arba osa on the 14th day, obeshe einu l'tzarech hamoy. If you don't need it for yom tov, osa is forbidden. V'oisin is forbidden. Anything you don't need for yom tov, it is forbidden. You're not allowed to complete. V'oisin melacha ba'arvei pesachim ad chatzeis b'makom shenogu. And you're allowed to do melacha erev pesach until midday in those places where the minhag is that you can. Makom shenogu in. And clearly, the only time is if the minhag is you can. Abloy nogu loy. But the minhag is that you don't do work. You're not allowed to. If it's not for the sake of yom tov, you're not allowed to. In only things which are necessary for yom tov, in a place where you're not allowed to work. The only things that you're allowed to do are things which are necessary for yom tov. And shaloi letzedek hamoyed loy. But if it's not necessary for yom tov, you're not allowed to even complete. Shmamino is a good proof. It's a good proof. There's only thing to know for yom tov, you're allowed to complete in a place where the minhag is not to work. Yeah. So you have to have two criteria. You have to, in a place where the minhag is not to work, erev Pesach in the morning. It has to be you're completing something you started before, and it has to be benefit to yom tov. The Chachamim say Shalzun, the three exceptions. The three exceptions. Tanya, we learned. Why are these particular trays an exception? Only these. Because we have another time that you're not allowed to do any malacha is Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is far stricter. We allow malacha as a Chol HaMoed only if it's Letzarech Yom Tov or it's a Dover HaOved, you know, you're about to lose a lot of money, we permit a Chol HaMoed. Erev Pesach is a step lower than Chol HaMoed. Erev Pesach is more a minig than anything else. So time we learned, HaChayot in the Torah. She came Hedyid Toifek Darkei B'Chol HaShem. You know why you're allowed to have tailors working Erev Pesach? Because we find elsewhere in Chol HaMoed also leniency that while we allow tailors to continue mending and sewing the normal way on Chol HaMoed. So if you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed, even an ordinary person will end up wearing cotton. So therefore, even a tradesman can do this at a Pesach, which is a step lower or not so severe as Chol HaMoed itself. So even a tradesman can do it. Hasaporim v'hakayfsim. Why do we allow barbers and launderers to work out of Pesach? Because you find a leniency by them. Somebody comes, we'll have a moed cotton. There are exceptions, and certain people are allowed to do a malach on Chol HaMoed. They couldn't do it prior. Why couldn't they do prior? Somebody came from overseas, and he arrived mamish out of Yom Tov. Somebody was imprisoned, and then they released him out of Yom Tov. Didn't have no time. Then we gave them a special dispensation. We allow them to do that on Chol HaMoed. So since we find at least in certain situations there's a leniency when it comes to taking a haircut or laundering, so therefore erev Pesach, which is less severe, we allow lechatchila to go ahead and do these activities. Then we had the mission of Rishu Yudoyim and Afar Tzad the shoemakers. And what's the reason? Where do we find the leniency regarding shoemakers on Chol HaMoed? Shekain oile the golem, people who are oile regolim, misaknin menalein, they repair their shoes b'chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, they repair the shoes. Those people are oile regolim. So the if the rabbanon say those three trades are permitted erev Pesach because they're permitted Chol HaMoed in certain extenuating circumstances, so why don't they also agree that you're allowed to go ahead and make shoes erev Yom Tov because there are extenuating circumstances Chol HaMoed if somebody's traveling and his shoes, you know, oile regolim and the shoes break, you're allowed to go repair them. So the Gemara is very simple. One of them holds, Rabbi Yosi holds, since you have, you're allowed to do a repair, he holds also allowed to make a shoe in the first place. Marshall, the rabbis say, ain't made in tchilus malacha, mesef malacha. Just because you're allowed to repair a shoe doesn't mean that you're allowed to make a shoe. You don't learn one from the other. Mishnah.
Can I ask?
Yeah, sure.
Is that implying that you can have a haircut in Chol HaMoed Pesach?
Only in those two extenuating circumstances. Let's say somebody came from overseas, or something like that. Or an oval who stood up right before Yom Tov. You have to be special, exceptional circumstances. Okay, Mishnah. Meshivin, now we're still talking about forms of work you're allowed to do at a Pesach. Meshivin, Shevchile Tanagolim. He's saying over here, you're allowed to take the eggs of a hen and place them under the hen on top of the twigs. And it's like you're creating a nest. And you're allowed to place the Tanagolim, be it down at a Pesach, so that the Tanagolim will warm it up. And so it'll hatch. The Tanagoyle Shaborcha, there was, let's say, a hen already sitting on the eggs and it escaped. Machzidin Oisel Mekoyma, surely you'll have to bring it back on the eggs. Obviously, the Gemara is going to ask, if you'll have to chachila put a hen on top of an egg, what do you have to tell me? You'll have to return it. Of course, you'll have to return it. It's much easier. You got the im mesa. And if, let's say, the hen died while it's warming up the egg in order to hatch, you're allowed to place another hen on top of that. You're allowed to take away all the junk that's underneath the legs of an animal on Erev Pesach, taking away all the excrement and the dung Erev Pesach, and you can throw it out. But over Moed, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, when you clean up, you don't take it out, even because we don't need to expend too much effort on these activities. And then Mesalkel is done. Chol HaMoed is treated more strictly than Erev Pesach, so then you just push it to the side. My lichin kedim, you're allowed to bring items, umevien, and you're allowed to take back mebeis umen from the house of a tradesman. Afa pisha einol, even things that you don't need for yomtiv, you're allowed to bring it home, and you're allowed to bring it there. The Gemara will talk about that. Let's first understand the Mishnah. Hashta oisiv mesirin, you're allowed to place a hen on the eggs. Hadura boyil, so you're telling me that if it escaped, you're allowed to bring it back. Of course, I'm going to buy you. Say for asan lechilah shalmoid. Abaye says, no, this second din about returning is from a chalamoid. Chalamoid, you're not allowed to take a hen and place it on the eggs in order to hatch. But a chalamoid, if the hen did it on its own and then it escaped, you're allowed to bring it back. But at a Pesach, you're allowed to put a hen there. Because otherwise, you're going to lose all that money because these hens, you know, won't be able to hatch. It won't hatch. Yeah. On chalamoid, the only time that chalamoid, you're allowed to return it because you already started the hatching process. And otherwise, if you don't continue, the egg is gone. Said the Gemara, Amar says, Loishanu, when do we say that there's some benefit that a chalamoid, you're allowed to bring the hen back because otherwise you're going to lose money? Only toich shloisha lemordif, it's within 3 days from when the hen left the egg. If there's more than 3 days expired between when the hen was on the egg to warm it up and now, then the egg already is gone. It's no longer possible for the egg to hatch, and because it lost all that warmth. It's only if it's within 3 days, he can continue the process. But when it rebelled, the heat has not escaped it yet. So therefore, it's possible to continue the process. Let's say it had to sit 3 days on the egg before it ran away. So the egg already started the process. However, and therefore, if you don't bring the hen back, now the egg will be lost. It can't eat as a normal egg, nor will it continue to hatch. The postal labei legamni. Because then the egg is completely gone. If the hen sat on that egg for 3 days, it started the hatching. It takes 3 days for it to start fertilizing the egg and start hatching the process. And then, if it doesn't sit there longer, it's gone. But let's say if it's more than 3 days from when the hen was there, so the egg is no longer warm. The part of the simulum and other heat is all gone, so therefore it's like starting the process all over again from scratch. The toich shloisha li yeshivasa, or let's say the 3 days the hen has not sat on that egg for 3 days. So then the egg really hasn't started the hatching process yet. You can still eat it as an egg. The katalep shidabe the gamri, you didn't lose it completely. Lamadini, we do not bring it back because you don't fetch the head. It's a big job. And on your chalamoy, we don't want you to do that. We talk about chalamoid when we need, you know, a few extra criteria to enable you to do this malacha. Rabbi says no. I feel toich shloisha lishivasa mahadin. Rabbi says that even though it only sat, let's say, 2 days on the egg, it still started some kind of a process. So you're allowed to bring it back if it's less than 3 days from when it sat there. Because not everybody will eat the egg once even that little bit of a process. Then most people will not touch that egg. And therefore, What's the argument? One of them says, for a big loss, we will allow you, but a small loss, if the hen only sat there 1 or 2 days, okay, you're right, not everybody's going to eat the egg now, comfortable eating that egg, but some people will, so it's not a major loss. You can still, you know, save it somehow. Even a small loss, since there are some people now who will no longer eat it, it allows us on Pesach, on Chalamoy, to go ahead and do your work. Even a small loss is enough. Then he said, "Goy from etachis, let her move all the dung underneath the animal." That's what we learned. Hazev shabachatzah, the fertilizer that's in the chatzah, mesalkon al dodi, and you move it to the side. Shiberefes, you move it in the side. You move it to the side. Because al chalamoid, we don't want you to take it outside because that's already a much bigger job, and we don't want you to do that. But shibarefe, but if let's say it's in a barn, ushibachotze in a courtyard, might seem like slashba, you'll have to take the dung and then take it outside. Now it seems to contradict itself. Hagufakasha. Ahmed, you started off saying zebushibachotze fertilizer the chotze, misalgwa, don't you take it outside? Sorry, you bring it to the sides of the courtyard and I'll take it outside. Then what the tali shibarefe, but if it's in a barn, or if it's in the, what do you call it? In the, in the courtyard, might see his last week. You'll have to take it outside to the tip. What's going on here? Depends what we're talking about. Can be yudal at a Pesach, you'll have to take it to the tip. Can be cholamoid, you're not allowed to take it to the tip. By a chatz, you'll have to leave it inside. You believe in the side because it's not such a great loss. Rabbi says, hava haba cholamoid, even both of them to a cholamoid. So, how do you explain the thing? If the chatz turned into a barn, or a stable, then might see an oisei la'ashba. In other words, if the entire chutzah now is full of this dung, so now it smells like a barn, or it looks like a barn, then, and that was really, if there's no really any spots that you can put things on the side, then you can take it outside. So the refes, and the second case, which says refes al chutzah, the chutzah, talking about a chutzah that's like a refes. You're allowed to bring your items to this craftsman, and you're allowed to take it back from them. I'm going to Papa Bodigal and Rava, you once tested us, because you know, Papa was a student of Rava. Tanam, we learned the Mishnah, says the Mishnah that you can take back and you can bring kelim from Beis Umin, from the tradesman. Even though you don't need it for Yom Tov, it says in our Mishnah, you're allowed to do that. Okay, that's our Mishnah. But I have a question. It says, Ein mevi'in kelim be'beis ha'umen. You should not bring back kelim from the house of a tradesman. You should not bring it back. Ve'im choishes lehen, if you are worried that if you don't bring it back, Shema yiginavu, that it might get stolen, then still you don't bring it home. And mefanin l'chotz l'cheres, bring it to somebody else's yard that's close to the tradesman's house, don't bring it home. How do you reconcile that Mishnah? Mishnah clearly says you're allowed to go to the tradesman's house and bring things home. So the Mishnah says, we answer, our Mishnah is not talking about Cholamoid. I can't. Our Mishnah is talking about Barba, Osor, Erev, Pesach. That's why you're allowed to bring it home. And this Braisa that you mentioned now, so we don't want you to bring it home, leave it there or in the house next door. Or Ibai Seimo, or I can answer you, both are Chalamayit. Sometimes you bring it home, sometimes you leave it there, or bring it to the Chatzah next door. Well, like Kasher. Can't be Amino, if you trust him, that he will not turn around after you got paid and sell your item, then you don't bring it home. Or you trust him that he's not going to ask you to pay the next time. If you don't take the goods back, you have to pay him straight away. If you don't take the, let's say, Chalma, you go pay him and you leave the goods there, can you trust him that when you come back after Yom Tov to pick it up a second time, he's not going to ask you for the money a second time? If you can trust him, and for whatever reason the tradesman wants to get paid now, then you can leave it there. If you cannot trust him, then you can take it home. Says the Gemara, can't be sure you don't trust him. The Gemara of Tanya could be tackled in the Braisa. This is support. Mevin kelim mi beis ha'umen, you're allowed to bring home different kinds of utensils from the house of a tradesman. Keep going, hakad, a jug, mi beis hakoder, from somebody who makes jugs, vakois mi beis hazagog, or a glass from the house that makes a glass kelim. You're talking about if you need it for Yom Tov. Don't bring wool from the house of the dyer, because you're not going to do anything with the Yom Tov anyway, or Chalamoid. But like Kaylee Mebeis Ha'umim, nor bring utensils back from the house of the tradesman. V'im ein loy ma yoichel, but the tradesman needs to get paid. He wants his money now, he wants money so he can buy for the second half of Yom Tov. You can pay him, but what about the item? Can you take it home now? Still, you should leave it by him. But if you don't trust him, what do you mean don't trust him? That he might turn around and sell it. Or he might ask you for money a second time. Place it in the house as close as possible to him. Don't bring it home. You're scared that it's not safe there. Then, bring it discreetly to your house. Bring it discreetly to your house. So we see clearly from here, it depends, it hinges on trust. So the second answer was correct. It says the Gemara, Tiratzta Mevin, you answer, you reconcile our Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah says our Mishnah says you're allowed to bring Lechatchila to the tradesman. Over there it says you should not bring to the tradesman. You don't bring it, you don't take it, sorry, you don't take it back from the tradesman. There it says you do take it back from the tradesman. So we explain the difference. That our mission says you're allowed to bring it back from the tradesman is a place you don't trust him. Over there it's talking about you should leave it by the tradesman in a place you do trust him. But however, the second case, which is Melichin, bring it to them. What do you mean you don't trust him? If you don't trust him, then why bring it to him in the first place? How come our mission says you're allowed to bring it to the tradesman and there it says you're not allowed to? How are you going to answer that? Kashi, but that's a problem still. Obviously, you're allowed to bring it there. And don't do a trust. If you don't trust him, why bring it in the first place? Says the Gemara, Kasha. The Tony, what is it? Tirasavim, Malichin, Kasha, Tony. It says, Ein Mevin. It says, Ein Mevin. You shouldn't bring. It says, Ein Mevin. It says, you do not bring back. Then surely you're not bring it in the first place. Why even mention that you know I bring there in the first place? Says the Gemara, go back to the first answer. Our mission is talking about Erev Pesach, if you're allowed to bring back. And that mission over there is talking about on Chalamay, that you're not allowed to take back. So if you're not allowed to take back, surely you're not allowed to bring there, and we trust, and surely you're not allowed to bring there. What possible reason could you have to bring there? So you're right. Go back to the first answer that there's Chalamay, therefore it's forbidden, and here we're talking about Erev Pesach, therefore it is permitted. Okay, so we'll have a good Shabbos, and we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.